This morning, I was prepping this week for this week's message, and I realized yesterday, actually, that I've actually stolen one of Byron's titles for his messages from last year called Why Communion, if you remember the Why series that he did. So I didn't mean to steal the message. I didn't steal the sermon, but I stole the title for it. But I think it's good for us to revisit this idea of communion, and why is it do we take communion? Why do we pass the wafers? Why do we pass the juice? What is that all about even? I see in my new role here, I see a lot of guests come through here. Some come for a little while and stay. Some come for a little while and go on to them as they're searching. But I wonder sometimes, are they new to church? If they're new to church, do they know why we're eating a snack in the middle of service? You know, when I was a kid, that's what I thought it was. I thought, you know, as I went to children's church, we got snacks. We got, you know, crackers and goldfish crackers and Kool-Aid or whatever. And then when I came upstairs, they're passing out stuff to them. I'm thinking, well, maybe that's just, you know, adult snack. It's not nearly as tasty, but it's an adult snack, I guess. So do they understand why we're passing this stuff out? So I think whether you've been in church for this is your first day or you've been in church your entire life, I think it's good for us to revisit this idea of communion and ask ourselves why. Why do we take communion? Why do we celebrate communion? And I think the short answer to that is that communion offers us a great time to be reminded. It's a great time for us to remember, okay? And I thought about this a bit, and I realized that we love to be reminded in life. Maybe not of the bad times, but we love reminders. If you don't believe me, go home today and look around your house. Look around your house when you get home. What will you see? You'll see pictures on the wall. You'll see pictures on the coffee table or wherever you might display pictures of loved ones or of the kids whatever it might be. Fun times, fun vacations. You might see a wedding photo because you want to remember. You might be a sports fan or sports have kids in sports, and they might have trophies up on their wall, on their shelves, because they want to remember. Maybe you're a hunter or a fisherman, and you have that prize catch or that deer head up on the wall, you know, whatever it is, because you want to remember whatever it is. If you're on Facebook, you might log in, and the first thing they show you on Facebook usually every day is, hey, do you remember this? This is what you did 2 years ago. This is what you posted 3 years ago. Do you remember that? Share it and see if anybody else remembers it. Because we like to be reminded of good stuff. We like to be reminded of the good times. And we have reminders everywhere. And when you think about it, every week when we come into this worship service, we have a reminder set aside for us. Built right into the service, we have this reminder here. As well, we come to a point in our service every week where we pause and we celebrate this reminder of one of the final events in Jesus' life. Because on the night before his crucifixion, he shared this meal with his disciples, with his followers, and at that meal, Jesus instituted what we call communion, or you might have heard it called the Last Supper. There's even a famous painting of the Last Supper, where everybody's on one side of the table, because that's how you do it, I guess. When you eat supper together, you all get on one side. But it's a famous painting because it's a famous moment in history. Jesus gave us communion, and he gave us that to serve as a reminder. Matter of fact, he even said this. He said, "Do this to remember me. Do this whenever you get together. To remember me." And so we do. That's what we do. We celebrate communion together. Every week, we celebrate communion together and we remember him. So this morning, what I want to kind of do is talk about what is it that we should be focusing our memories on. What is it we should be reminded of when it comes to Jesus? And this is one of those moments where if you don't know this, this would be a great, that class I mentioned would be great for you starting next week. We're going to dive into some of these things. But what we're going to do this morning is just, what is it we need to remember about Jesus? So this is part sermon, part communion meditation, all in the hope that at the end of the day, we can walk out of here with just a clearer idea of what that time is all about. Why do we pass the communion trays? Why do we pass the bread and the juice? Okay, so let's pray together, and then we're going to dive into that, and we're going to talk about why this is a good reminder. So God, we just thank you so much for allowing us to be in here. We thank you so much that we have the space, that even while there's a construction project going on, we can still come together right here in this room. So we thank you for that blessing. We thank you for those who are here. God, as we dive into your word, teach us, God, and help us to remember why it is that we celebrate communion week after week after week, because it can become a tradition sometimes, and it can become something that might even become meaningless over time because we do it so much. Help us to remember. Help us to remember what it is and why we're doing it. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what we need to do is we need to understand that the Last Supper or communion is just this great reminder. And if you look in your outline there, here's the first idea, is that it's a great reminder that Jesus chose the cross, didn't he? He chose the cross. Aren't you happy? Aren't you so thankful that Jesus chose the cross and God didn't ask you to do it? Right? Now that sounds a little bit silly, because obviously Jesus would be the one on the cross, not me. You know, what's so special about me that I would do it? But aren't you glad that he didn't ask us to do it? If he asked me to do it, I'm not sure that it would have gotten done. Right? And I'm not saying because I would forget. Okay, I'm not saying, I said this earlier, Sarah might accuse me of forgetting to do something she asked me to do around the house. And I say, if I said I'll do it, I'll do it. Don't remind me every 6 months about it. I'll do it. I'm not saying I would forget to do it. I'm saying I just probably wouldn't do it. It would be hard for me to go through with that. But that's what Jesus did. You see, earlier in the week, leading up to his crucifixion, Jesus returned to Jerusalem. We call that the triumphal entry. You remember that story where he came in on the donkey and Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, and but he didn't come into town. He didn't ride into town to preach another sermon. He didn't ride into town to perform another miracle. He didn't ride into town to do anything other than to die. He wasn't forced into death. He chose to go to Jerusalem. He understood what was waiting on him there, and he chose to go to Jerusalem. He knew that he had to offer his life in order to complete his mission. Look with me in Matthew chapter 20. See, Jesus and his disciples were preparing to enter Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 20, it says this, verse 17. It says, while Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he took his followers aside privately and said to them, look, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man, I'm going to be turned over to the leading priests and the teachers of the law. And they will say that he must die. And they will give the Son of Man to the non-Jewish people to laugh at him and to beat him with whips and to crucify him. Now again, let's say for a moment that that's me in that spot. God has asked me to take on the cross. And I'm telling my followers, my disciples, I'm saying, listen, we're going to go into Jerusalem. And when we get there, they're going to arrest me. And when they arrest me, they're going to beat me, they're going to mock me, and they're eventually going to kill me. I'd probably follow that up with, so let's not go there, right? And you would too. You would say, so maybe we'll go another way, or maybe we'll go somewhere else. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus chose the cross, and he does so willingly. I've even heard it argued, when I say he chose the cross, I've heard it argued by maybe non-believers that Jesus was arrested and he was killed, and that his followers or Christians have made up this story of a self-sacrifice in order to make this normal man like Jesus seem much more of a God than a person. But the truth is, Jesus was very clear about what was about to happen, wasn't he? He was very clear. Jesus was in control throughout the process. Jesus was in control throughout, even in that last evening, even in that last day, even when it appeared that he wasn't in control. Do you remember when he arranged the transportation? He sent his disciples to go find the donkey, bring it back. Hey, go find, there's going to be this upper room where we're going to have the meal. Go find it. You know, he arranged all of that. He was in control, and even in control of his death. He chose the cross. Look at this passage with me in John chapter 10. Starting in verse 17, it says that the Father loves me because I give my life. So in verse 18, he says, no one can take my life from me. You can't take it from me, he said, because I sacrifice it voluntarily. Then on the night Jesus was arrested, if you remember, the guards came to him as he was praying. And as they came to arrest him, Peter pulled out his sword and went to attack the guard, actually got the ear off the guard. And Jesus rebuked Peter, telling him to put the sword away. He said, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? Don't you realize I could stop this, and God would instantly stop this? He could have ended this in just a matter of seconds, but he chose the cross. And communion is a great reminder for us that he chose that path. And at that Last Supper, Jesus even tried to explain that to his disciples. He tried to explain that what was about to happen was going to happen on his terms. That he had planned for this. That what was about to happen was happening for a reason. And that it had some meaning. That the fact that he was going to be crucified and put up on a cross, and his body was going to be broken and his blood was going to be spilled, that meant something. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 26. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take this and eat it. For this is my body. And then in verse 27, he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, each of you drink from this, for this is my blood. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So you see, nobody took life from Jesus. It was his plan. He chose the cross, and communion is a great reminder of that. But communion is also a great reminder that, number two there, that Jesus came to serve. What would you do if you knew you had 24 hours left before death? And not only that, but 24 hours left before a violent death. What would you do with your time? Maybe get your last few posts in on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, I guess, your last few political posts, or maybe, you know, go spend some time with some family. Or maybe, you know, people always bugging you for that one recipe. You better write that one down. That's coming to an end. You share what you can share, but it's coming to a close here soon. Here's what Jesus did. John writes here saying that Jesus knew that his time was coming to a close. Jesus' time was almost up. And let's look and see what he does. He took off his cloak, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he washed the dirty feet of his followers. Washed the dirty feet of his disciples. Who is going to take time, waste time, of washing someone's feet when I only have a day to live? Well, Jesus. That's what he did. Because he wanted to show them how important it is to serve. Philippians, Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. That's a hard one. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, listen to this, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave them up. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. We need to see more leaders like that today, don't we? Leaders who, from the top, who are willing to get down and get dirty, serving those who they lead. We call that servant leadership. And when I think about this idea of servant leadership, this idea of leading from the top, or the top coming down on that level, I think of the show, I've mentioned this before, I think of the show Undercover Boss. You watch that? Where the CEO of the company, the president of the company, will infiltrate the common folk of his company. He'll put it on disguise, he'll come in, and he'll be just another employee. And really, he goes in to do that so he can get some insight into how his company is working at the lower levels and how he can help to make it better. But by the end of the show, you'll always see a turn there where the CEO wants to put a blessing on the life of his workers, of his servants, basically. And he decides to serve his people. That sounds a lot like what Jesus did. Paul said, instead, Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He gave up the boardroom, right? He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And then Jesus said it himself, Mark chapter 10, in the 42nd verse, he says that he called the disciples together and he said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. You know some people like that? Maybe your boss or something? I don't know. Not my boss, but your boss maybe. He's sitting right over there, so. Meeting tomorrow, is that what you said? Oh, sorry. You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So here we find ourselves back in the book of John. At the table during that Last Supper, during this Passover meal. And Jesus, you know, the CEO, he's walking the walk. He says that he came not for them to serve him, but so that he could serve others. And now he's washing the dirty, dusty, stinky feet of his disciples. My point is that this was servant leadership. Washing nasty feet. Verse 12 in John 13 says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again, and he sat down, and he asked them, do you understand what I was doing there? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. See, he's not downplaying the fact that he's a big deal. But then he said, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. He goes on to say, I've given you an example to follow, so do exactly as I have done to you. Jesus decided that he was going to use his last hours serving his disciples to set the example. So the Last Supper, or as we call it on a weekly basis, communion, is really a great reminder that Jesus came to serve. And not only that, but he commands us to follow that example. So Jesus came, he chose the cross. Jesus came to serve others and called us to do the same. And then the third thing that I want us to look at here this morning is that Jesus calls us to more. You see, this meal wasn't an ordinary meal. It wasn't just another supper with Jesus, okay? It wasn't just like every other night where they've eaten together. This meal that Jesus is sharing with his disciples was itself a celebration meal. This was the Passover meal. And the Jewish people celebrated Passover each and every year from the time where they left Egypt. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was a time of celebration because in itself, it served as a reminder to the Jewish people. Still does to this day. Way back in Exodus, the Israelites were enslaved by Egyptians, and God sends Moses and he says, "Let my people go." And Moses says, "No." And Pharaoh, or Moses said that, and Pharaoh said no. And so Pharaoh continues to say no, and Moses continues to say, "Let my people go." And finally, God uses Moses to bring about these plagues. He brings about the plague of frogs that was sent to cover the entire land. He brought about this plague of flies that filled Pharaoh's palace and all the officials' homes. And still Moses would say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would say no. And so here came another one, the gnats, then death to the livestock. And then every time Pharaoh would say no. And on and on and on it went. And God sent plague after plague. You know, the boils on skin and darkness for a few days, and just all these plagues to convince Pharaoh that God was in control and his people needed to be released. And every time Pharaoh said no, until finally we see the 10th and final plague, the plague of Egypt's firstborn. See, God instructs his people that he is going to come into the land of Egypt. And he's going to pass over the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of Egypt, a firstborn son, human, livestock, whatever, would be taken. Their lives would be cut short. But for the people of Israel, they were instructed to take a perfect goat or a perfect sheep, something without defect, and sacrifice that to God, and then use the blood on the doorpost and the frame of the door. And when he comes through the land of Egypt, if he sees that above the doorframe, he would then pass over that house. And finally, Pharaoh, after that happened, Pharaoh let them go. But this was, he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And they were let go, and they were led out of slavery. And so for generation upon generation upon generation, the Jewish people, even till today, celebrate Passover because God passed over their home. And God was very specific at what the meal should consist of. And they're very strict about that. And they celebrated this year after year after year to remind them of the time when God brought them out of slavery. And then you fast forward to Jesus and his disciples, and they're celebrating the Passover meal together for the last time. They were in that upper room. And in Luke chapter 22, Jesus even says that he is excited to celebrate this Passover meal together with his disciples. And then the very next verse of that, Luke chapter 22, he says, "For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So this has always been a meal of looking back, the Passover meal. Always a meal of looking back at the time of slavery when God brought them up out of Egypt. But then Jesus says, "I'm not going to eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So he kind of changed directions on this meal. This meal went from a meal of remembrance to a meal of anticipation for the future. So now when we come to communion, we look back at the cross. Jesus chose the cross. We look back at the crucifixion and what Jesus sacrificed for us. But now Jesus reminds us here that we no longer have to just look back, but now we get to look ahead to eternity. We get to look ahead. He says, "I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." The Gospel of Matthew says it this way: "I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Can you imagine that banquet that we get to celebrate with Jesus? We're going to Jesus' house for dinner, for a party. And he says he's not doing this again until we join him there. So the Last Supper is our reminder that this life isn't as good as it gets for us. Okay? When we pass the wafers here in just a moment, when we pass the cups in just a moment, you're going to be holding in your hands the emblems of your ticket to that banquet. This is a meal of anticipation as much as it is a meal of remembrance. Communion is a great reminder that eternity is waiting on us, and that today is just a blip on the radar of time. So maybe you're going through the roughest time in your life, or whenever you go through the roughest time in your life, you can look forward to eternity with this meal. You look back and you see the cross, you see the resurrection, and then you remember these words of Jesus in John 14 where he says, "There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it weren't true. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me." The celebration that is awaiting on us is going to make our celebrations of Christmas and Thanksgiving look puny. And at that point, the darkness of this life, whatever it is in your life, the darkness that we struggle through here on earth, it's not going to matter anymore. Because we're going to be forever in the presence of God, forever in the presence of Jesus. So as we take communion this morning and throughout the next several weeks and years, as we take communion, it's a great reminder that Jesus chose that. That Jesus used his last hours to teach us to serve, and that Jesus is calling us to eternity. So as we pass the emblems here in just a moment, I want you to think about those things. We can look back and remember the cross, because Jesus chose that. We can look at our present and how are we serving others, but then let's not forget to look ahead and remember that eternity awaits. So we're going to pass the emblems here in just a moment, and you'll take the cracker and the bread, and you'll take the juice, and if you would just hold on to your cup. We don't have the holders in here, so you can just throw those out on your way out, but just take some time and remember what Jesus has called us to. Let's pray. God, we look back at that Passover meal. We look back at that Last Supper. And we know that you had a day coming where you were about to experience pain like none other. And yet you chose to teach us what this is all about. You instituted this time of remembrance for us, so that we can focus on you and what you've done for us and what you have in store for us as well. We thank you for that, God. We ask that as we take this time of communion, that you would just help us to remember that. Help us to remember what you have done. Help us to remember what awaits us. God, we give you this time, and we pray that you just speak to our hearts. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.